The text is the gospel reading from St. Luke. At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go tell that fox. I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I'll reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Here ends our text. The second Sunday in Lent goes by the Latin name Reminiscere, which means remember. It gets its name from the first word in the historic introit, "Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love." We pray for him to remember them that we might never forget them. Our text gives us fitting things to remember. Remember, Jesus came into this world to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks. Remember, this figure is used throughout the Psalms. For example, "Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Children of men, put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be passed over. I will trust in the shelter of thy wings. In the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice. And he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings you shall trust." What a beautiful picture. But remember, Jesus was warned about gathering you. In our text, we find out that King Herod, who had already beheaded John the Baptist, wanted Jesus dead too. We also learn that Jerusalem would kill him, and the people he was dying to gather would reject him. It happens that a hen protecting her brood will die to keep the chick safe under her wings. In grass fires that roar across open prairies, too fast for flightless chicks to run from, the mother hen will gather her young under her wings so that the fire burns her but spares the chicks. This is Jesus. Jesus is warned that Herod wants him dead. Jesus knows that to go to Jerusalem means certain death. Jesus knows that the little chicks he longs to gather aren't running to him for safety and salvation, yet Jesus keeps going. He neither speeds up nor slows down as the horror of the cross grows ever nearer. The fox wants to put the fear into the hen, but the hen won't run or change its course. You know what it means to have something before you that you dread. Probably even use the word dread. Well, Jesus is 3 months before the cross. He knows he will be rejected not only by Jerusalem, but by his very own disciples. He knows that he will be beaten, whipped, and tortured. He knows that he will be mocked, ridiculed, and totally humiliated. Moreover, he knows that to gather sinners, he gathers their sins too. The prairie fire of God's hot wrath against sins is going to roar over him. Remember, Jesus knows full well whom he is gathering and the cost of gathering you. He sees the physical and spiritual torture that lies ahead, and Jesus doesn't turn away from it. Remember that when your sins overwhelm you. Remember that when you see yourself not as a cute little Easter chick, but as a stinking, ugly vulture. Remember that Jesus knows what you are. Jesus knows what you have done. Jesus knows what it costs to redeem you. Not just his blood, not just his sweat, not just his tears, but pain, hell, and damnation. And he does it anyway. Remember, Jesus was warned about gathering you under his wings, and he did it anyway. And remember that Jerusalem was warned about refusing to be gathered. Jesus came to Jerusalem in grace, mercy, and peace. He had been there many times before. The only wrath he had ever shown was in driving out the money changers from the temple. Other than that, he called out to the labored and the heavy laden that he would give them rest. He called out to those in darkness that he was the light of the world. He called out to the hungry that he was the bread of life. He called out to the thirsty that he was the water of life. To those certain that they were locked out of heaven, Jesus declared he was the door. To the sheep without a shepherd, Jesus proclaimed himself to be the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And what had Jerusalem done? First, remember, Jesus wasn't the first prophet to go to Jerusalem. Jesus was not the first to try to gather sinners under the sheltering wings of God. Read your Old Testament. You will find God saying in several places that he had sent prophet after prophet, and they rejected them all. Read your New Testament. Jesus tells of the Father sending several servants to his vineyard before he sent his only son. Some they beat, some they whipped, all they rejected, and then they killed the son. Now the common people, they were drawn to this hen with stretched out wings. But the church leaders, they constantly denounced Jesus. They said he was insane. They said he was a hated, heretical Samaritan. They said he had a demon. Even during the last week of Jesus' life, though, the people were still gladly hearing him. But in the end, remember how it went? Persuaded by the leaders of the church, the people asked for Barabbas, not Jesus. They took the one guilty of rioting and murder and rejected the innocent Jesus. They took a bird of prey rather than a gentle hen. Remember, our text is 3 months before that happens. Jesus is warning them that you reject me and you reject the one who sent me. Jesus says, your house is left to you. That word desolate that's in our insert, that's not in the text. By rejecting Jesus' attempts to gather them, the temple would no longer be Jehovah's house at all, but their own house. Remember that the Old Testament prophesied that Jehovah would come suddenly to his temple. Well, he had come. He had come in the person of Jesus Christ, and they said, no thanks. Jesus spoke these words of gloom and doom about Jerusalem around 30 AD. Jesus went on speaking them in the gospel that Luke wrote from then on. These words of Jesus were preached by Peter, James, John, Paul, and other apostles right in Jerusalem for 40 more years. They called people to come under the wings of Jesus before it was too late. They said, here is shelter from the storm. Here is safety from God's wrath. Here's the place to be forgiven. Some did come. Most didn't. But then the judgment Jesus here predicted fell. The eagle of the Roman army swooped down upon Jerusalem in 70 AD and slaughtered, devoured, and destroyed the little chicks that refused to be gathered by Jesus. Remember, Jesus is still gathering little chicks today. Remember how the ancient Kalik described God? O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy. Do not create God in your image. Do not think God can only be as forgiving as you can be. Don't think God can only forgive sins that you can somehow manage to forgive. Try as we may, we cannot get such words as deserve, merit, worthy out of our vocabulary of forgiveness. Don't you see how this, far from protecting the grace of God, demeans, diminishes, and all but denies the blood of Christ? The mercy of God flows from the blood of Christ. God can be merciful to sinners because Jesus shed his blood to cover all sins. God can be merciful to stinking, ugly vultures because even vultures can fit under the outstretched wings of Jesus' cross. The problem is, it feels pious to say, "Oh, no, no, God can't be merciful to me." It feels devout to mourn under the load of your sins. It feels deeply religious to claim you're such a stinking, ugly duckling that you wouldn't dare seek shelter from the storm under the beckoning wings of Jesus. But it's not pious to deny God's mercy towards you, no matter how sinful you may be. It is robbing God of His glory of always having mercy. It is not devout to mourn under the load of your sins. It's denying that Jesus carried those sins already to the cross. It is not deeply religious to look in the mirror and see a duckling too ugly for Jesus to gather. It's rejecting the plain words of Jesus. Remember, though He left that house, Jesus has not left this house. No matter how many times you leave it, no matter how far you go from it, Jesus is still here calling out to baby chicks, ugly ducklings, and stinking vultures. St. Paul teaches that Jesus is the head of the church, which is His body. Though Jesus ascended into heaven, His body, the church, remains here, doing what Jesus did when He bodily walked this earth. Suffering with sinners, calling sinners, forgiving sinners, healing sinners, feeding sinners, freeing sinners from death and the devil. But like its head, the church looks weak and powerless in the world. The church isn't an eagle, it's not a hawk, it isn't even an osprey for crying out loud. The church is a mother hen. What child has not chased a hen around a barnyard? What adult is afraid of a hen? A rooster, maybe, but a hen? Now it's true, Jesus does not use the word for a female chicken here, but for any female bird. But the only birds I know that gather their young under them and will suffer and die rather than leave them are birds like chickens, grouse, ducks, geese, not the birds of prey. No, those birds fly off the nest and come after you. Even a mockingbird is more aggressive than a mother hen type. Remember, as goes the head, so goes the body. Jesus was regarded as weak in this world, so is His church. She is a mighty army in the eyes of faith, but in the eyes of the world, she is as powerless as an old mother hen. But, and this is very important, how does a mother hen look to her chicks? Those outstretched wings, they are safety, they are hope, they are peace, they are shelter. And Jesus Himself points out that fact in the text. He tells the Jerusalem that killed the prophets and stoned those sent to her. He tells the Jerusalem that He longed to gather but who were not willing. He tells them, "You will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" What? Didn't they see Jesus for 3 more months? Didn't He ride into Jerusalem in sight of them all? Didn't He suffer and die before their very eyes on the cross? Yes, but all they saw was a loser, a dead, helpless chicken nailed to a piece of wood, a man as weak and worthless to men as a mother hen. Remember, a hen looks different to her chicks than it does to the world. To the gathered sinner, Jesus is not a loser, a weak man, or dead. He is alive and well, protecting and prospering His church, His body. Gathered sinners see Him as powerful in water. They hear His living voice forgiving their sins by the mouth of a man, and they adore His saving presence in bread and wine as they chant, "Blessed is He, blessed is He, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord." They remember when they chant these words that Jesus said, when they did, they would see Him again. And see Him we do. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.